Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today's topic is training, and we're going to discuss peaking workout intensities. So recently I was talking with a client and we were going through a training structure that was not their typical structure, but I was using it on purpose to kind of shock their body a little bit. And we had been working on body recomposition in the sense of trying to lose fat but build muscle, get muscle definition. So this is a female, but it would be the same for a male. She felt like she was thin in the sense that she didn't have a lot of muscle, but she was too thick in certain places, such as the upper thighs, and was wondering how she could kind of have more tone, quote unquote, in the sense of having more muscle mass and less body fat so she could see her muscles. Not necessarily like she wanted big muscles like a bodybuilder or anything. She just wanted to be able to see her muscles while still looking in a quote unquote feminine way. Now, just because you have big muscles doesn't mean you're not feminine. So you can absolutely have whatever body you want. And that's defined by you, for you. And if anybody else says anything negative, they're an asshole. Just live your life how you want and look the way you want. So, but this is what she wanted. She wanted a little bit more muscle, but she was mostly just wanting to see her muscle. But the reason why she couldn't see it was because she didn't have any. So we had to build muscle that she could see it. We had to take some fat off so that way the new muscle that we were building wasn't covered over. So one of the ways we kind of play back and forth in her programming style is we use two different approaches to her workouts. This causes two different types of intensities, like peaking intensity circuits, in her workouts. So I figured it'd be a fun thing to kind of talk about, just to discuss that this does exist if you're unaware of it, and the pros and cons of at least these two examples I'm going to present today. However, there's a bajillion more examples, by the way. But let's look at two examples. One we're going to label cardio first. The other one we're going to label strength first. So the first kind of workout format that we would start, like the workout from start to finish, you would start with, this is the cardio first structure, you would start with a cardio-based circuit. And this is technically muscle cardio. So we're not going to do traditional, stupid, boring cardio that doesn't really produce any great results. So we're going to do muscle cardio. If you don't know what muscle cardio is, you can check out podcast number 30. So way back when in podcast 30, we talked about muscle cardio, which is the concept of using weighted resistance as cardiovascular stimulus. So I might do, like for her, for example, we might do a workout where we do a concept 2 rower. We do a 1 minute sprint effort. So she's trying to go crazy on a thing for a full minute. She's going to get off of that, do alternating reverse lunges, just her body weight. Then we're going to go into kettlebell swings for 20 reps. And we sometimes will drop down to 10 reps so it doesn't stress her back, her lower back. So then we would take a break and do it again. So again, it's a 1 minute sprint on the rower, 20 bodyweight alternating reverse lunges. So that's 10 per leg, but you alternate for 20. Then we would grab a kettlebell that we can do for good form. We do a squatting style kettlebell swing rather than a hinge style. So we'll do a squatting style for 10 reps. We might do that for one round, just with a warm up on the kettlebell swing. Then we'll do it for 3 rounds, where the last three have like a nice heavy kettlebell kind of to them. So like 3 working rounds. So that is a cardio-based circuit, meaning that the rower isn't maximal resistance, neither is her body weight on reverse lunges, and the kettlebell swings, they're going to be challenging for 10 reps, but if we weren't doing the rower beforehand and the reverse lunges, they'd probably be able to do more weight. So it's kind of a pre-exhausted failure. Therefore, it's not a true muscular failure as much as it's a pre-exhausted failure. So these all count as submaximal in terms of resistance strength, like weighted resistance. So this is submaximal weight, but used at maximal cardiovascular challenge. So as you go through a circuit like this, you're kind of like you're out of breath, plus your muscles are burning. You can't tell which one is more miserable, but they're both present. Whereas if we did, say, a set of 10 reps on bicep curls with really good heavy weight, the person would go to a muscular failure, but there really wouldn't be a cardiovascular kind of stress other than being just ever so slightly out of breath. So this is where we want to bring that cardiovascular stress to a peak at the same time we bring muscle stress to a peak. So that's muscle cardio. Super freaking awesome for losing body fat. You get tons of heart benefits. So just like regular traditional cardio is touted to kind of help with blood pressure and resting heart rate, muscle cardio does that and even better. And it also will help to change and shape muscles and fill in any kind of discrepancies or weaknesses you have while using that time towards the cardio as well. So it gets you the best of muscle results plus the best of cardio results, and you get way more bang for your buck for time invested. So that is something we would start with. Then, while they're allowing their body to recover aerobically, okay, like out of breath, like oxygen-wise, you would do the warm-ups of a strength-based movement. So maybe after that circuit of the rower, reverse lunges, and swings, we might go to heavy leg press, for example. So they would then, during the lighter sets of the leg press, they would be practicing their technique, getting the body ready for heavier sets, and it would allow them to aerobically recover. So this is actually a lull in the middle of the workout. So they have a high peaking intensity during the muscle cardio circuit. We let that intensity lessen, and while they're warming up for their strength thing, then on the strength movement, we would work up to like a peaking effort again, and maybe we'd do a drop set, a multiple drop set out of that. So, for example, they would do the cardio circuit. We would go over to leg press. They would do a couple light sets of 10. And as we added like plates, I would kind of keep in mind of like what plates they got to. Maybe they got to 6 total plates for 10 reps. So on the final set, I'd have them do the 6 plates for 10. Then at the top of the 10th one, I'd pull a plate off. They'd have 5 plates. They'd have to do another 10, pull a plate off, 4 plates for 10, then 3 plates for 10, then we quit. So that would be a really high intensity peak as well, because it's pretty freaking hard to do 4 sets of 10 all back to back to back without any rest. So that's a multiple drop set, or it's often called a strip set. So you could do a workout like that where they do the cardio first. They do the cardio circuit for a high peak. There's a lull in the middle to allow for aerobic recovery. So that way when they go into their strength peak, they're not limited by aerobic fitness. They're actually going to be limited by the muscular strength. Muscular ability, muscular stress, which is what we want, because we want a muscle response out of the strength movement. We don't want an aerobic response. So this is going to help them have two peaks in their workout. One is going to be a cardiovascular peak. The other is going to be a strength peak. And by having the lull in the middle, it allows the strength peak to still be maximal effort. Now, does the rower, the reverse lunges, and the swings take away from some of their effort for lower body strength exercise later in the workout? Yes. But an example of a leg press is something that all the supportive muscles are getting support because the machine is helping to support the weight, and they can just focus on moving the thing. So if we try to do a max effort barbell squat, like a free weight movement, such as barbell squat, sumo deadlift, conventional deadlift, something like that, then they would be even more fatigued or more affected by the cardio circuit. By putting them on a machine that also does the balancing support for them, that cardio circuit has less of a degree of impact on the performance of the strength movement. So doing cardio first, where you use a strength movement that's a machine or assisted in support, is a great combination. Now, the opposing structure would be strength first. So they would come in, you would do a warm-up of the strength movement combined with movement preparation, kind of like small weakness kind of movements, or things that help them move better during the large strength movement. This would also be a time when you would take away from a machine strength movement and do more of a free weight strength movement, such as barbell squats, sumo deadlifts, conventional deadlifts, and other things like that. So they might come in, they might warm up their squat. While they're warming up their squat, they might do Kozak squats to help warm up their hips. They might do some single leg stiff leg deadlifts to help open up their hamstrings. The Kozaks would actually open up their adductors, which are two commonly tight areas. You can even do some other odds and ends, but it would be supersetted. So they would do a set of the squat, and then it would do like one or two kind of movement therapy things. Things that just kind of help open up muscles and get them moving properly. They do the second warm-up set of the squat. They do the other movement things. They do the third warm up with a squat. They do the movement things. So you do a circuit of that, and they'll be slightly out of breath, very slightly, but it's not really cardio focused as much as the focus is on peaking the strength. So as they warm up, they're getting movement intention, movement therapy into their warm ups. Then they'll peak their strength. So they'll do the best effort of squats they possibly can. Commonly, that's going to be supersetted with an assisting movement that focuses on a weakness. So for example, this is all simple examples, but say that you want to work on really heavy squats, but you also want to work on the overall musculature of the lower body and work on balance and support of joints. So you might do an uneven walking lunge, or they just hold a single dumbbell in one side and do walking lunges rather than having a dumbbell on each side. So they would do a superset of heavy squats and uneven dumbbell walking lunges. That would be a great, great, great kind of strength-based superset and muscle stress-damaged superset. So you're going to get strength improvement, you're going to get muscle shape, muscle damage, muscle kind of annoyance and stress in that superset. So that will be a peak of intensity. So they came in, they did their warm-up and the movement preparation things. That's a build-up to the peak of strength and muscle damage superset. Then from there, you would want to go into muscle cardio finishers, which are fast, easy to set up, but very cardiovascularly stressful things that still include muscle stress. So these can be sled push pulls, tire flips, sledgehammer hits, you know, things that don't take a lot of time to set up. And you would end with a circuit of those. So this structure has peaks actually in the middle and at the end, so the peaks are closer together. You have a slow build-up at the beginning because they're just doing warm-ups and movement prep. You peak their strength, then pretty quickly you go right into another peak for muscle cardio. So this has two peaks, but the lull is not in the middle, the lull is in the beginning. So this type of intensity, this type of stress, is a little more compounded because the two peaks are closer together. So people who are more physically fit would actually benefit from this style because it'll be more challenging to have the peaks together than the first style, which is cardio first, that has a lull between the two peaks. If you want maximal performance, having the lull between the two peaks is best. If you want maximal just stress and overall annoyance for adaptation and promotion, then you want one of the peaks closer together. So there are many reasons why you would do a cardio first circuit or type of format for the workout, which has the lull between the two peaks. And there's many reasons why you do the strength first type format, which has the lull at the beginning and the two peaks together. So some examples is when I train clients, I have to often pay attention to kind of their energy of the day and how much of a talker they are. So I will admit that I do not like working with people who talk a lot. And this is a personal preference. I'm here because I love training and I want to make their body better. I don't really give a shit about what their neighbor's cat is doing or anything like that. So I'm not the best of trainers if somebody just wants to kind of come in and do a fluff workout and be social. I don't mind being social, but you better kick your own ass as we go through this workout. So I'm a little hard on that, but that's the way I've chosen to be, and I'm okay with that because I want to work with clients who want freaking results, not come here and just tell me stories and bullshit. So if I have clients who have nervous energy, but they're not really a talker, so they come in, you can tell they're just kind of not in the greatest of moods. They're kind of just stressed, kind of a little fried. They just have this buildup of tension. Sometimes for those clients, I like doing the cardio first, because they can dive right into the peak of the cardio, kind of burn up some of that nervous energy, get a little bit off their mind of what was in their head. But they're not really a talker, so they weren't going to talk it out. So I had to make them exercise it out. So cardio first is very good for that type of client. Now, if I have a client who has nervous energy, and the nervous energy makes that they can't shut up, and they just want to yip and yap, and I know that they won't pay attention to a damn thing they're doing, I won't do the cardio first because they're never going to shut up enough for us to do it, and they're not going to pay attention to what they're doing. So I like doing strength first. Now I just realized in the middle of that last sentence that my clients are going to like start to pick apart which one I'm doing to them and wonder if I think they're the yippy-yappy type. So good luck playing that game, clients. But so if somebody's nervous energy means that they can't shut up, then I'm not going to try to give them something highly technical right away. I'm not going to try to give them something like high intensity right away. I'm going to give them a chance to kind of like ease out of some of that nervous energy, talk a little bit as we go through maybe the warm-ups of the strength movement, maybe go through some of the movement prep things that are submaximal efforts. So that's when strength first is a great format. Then another thing when it looks at, like when you're looking at as a trainer's perspective, or even if you are the person I describe here, is people who prioritize fat loss more so than building strength. Everybody needs to get stronger. Absolutely everybody needs to get stronger. No bullshit about that. You cannot do cardio-only workouts and achieve all of your goals of health. You have to do resistance training. You have to do strength-based training, period. So clients who prioritize fat loss over strength but still need strength, and they're not very strong, so they're kind of new to lifting, they're not really highly technical lifters, I'll often do the cardio first approach because it kicks their butt, it gets a big effort for the day, and then we'll go to the strength stuff. And even if it takes a little bit longer for us to go through the technical aspects, that's okay because they're still recovering from the cardio stuff. But clients who are really strong and they prioritize more strength and muscle adaptations over, say, cardiovascular benefits and or fat loss, we want to then typically do strength first as their format because it's going to allow them to work on the peaking of performance of the strength thing, which is their highest priority. Last thing we'll say is both styles are great to kind of use as an intermittent every once in a while way to break up the body's adaptation to the other style. So if I always do cardio first, it's good for me to do a strength first one every now and then. So that way when I go back to cardio first, it kind of feels sucky again, and vice versa is true. So if you do one format all the time, the body will adapt to that and you'll get less and less adaptational change from it. So all the effort you're putting in is going to equal less and less results over time. So you have to use multiple intensity styles in your training to get maximum progressive adaptation, and you have to use the right styles for your overall goal. So like I said, I'm giving two styles in today's podcast, but I could probably sit here and think of a dozen. Now, out of those dozen, there might only be three or four that work really well for one client, three or four that work for another client. Maybe they overlap, maybe they don't. So it's my job as a trainer to use only the ones that are right for them, but make sure I actually do use a variety of styles so they can get the best results possible. Okay, so in your own training, where are your peaks? Where does your workout tend to be the hardest? Do you peak too early and then burn out and kind of lose motivation towards the end and kind of peter out at the end, don't really care much and kind of like quit workouts kind of lazily? Do you peak too late and wonder why you only feel good at the end of a workout? Like, oh man, I'm finally feeling good, but now all of a sudden I have to be done. It's already an hour. Or do you have no peaks at all? If you feel like my whole workout is a peak, bullshit. Bullshit. You cannot peak maximum intensity for 60 minutes. So if you work out for an hour and you're like, oh, my whole workout is hard, I always have a peak. Bullshit. What that means is that you work to somewhat uncomfortable and stop. You don't have a peak. You have like some kind of weird, you know, anthill plateau thing. But you never actually fully challenge yourself. You only get uncomfortable to a small degree. You're the type of person that would only get to a comfortable uncomfortable. The same uncomfortable they've always been, which is why they have the same results they always have. They never really move past those newbie gains. So after 2 or 3 years, nothing really continues to move forward. They're kind of hee-hawing back and forth between goals, but they never really make true progress towards anything. They kind of just kind of like float around in no man's land. So where are your peaks? Do you pay mindful attention to putting your peaks in the best place for you? So play around with these two workout formats. Email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com if you want this write-up to show the formats. But the format of the cardio first is to do muscle cardio circuit, then warm up your strength movement and go into a strength movement and a muscle damage movement to end the workout. Strength first is to do your strength-based warm-ups with movement preparation exercises, then peak your strength and muscle damage kind of like exercises, then go right into muscle cardio finishers. So those are two great formats that you can play around with to try to see which style fits best for you, and to give you variety to help push you on to more progress and more results. Cool. Okay, if you want any help with any kind of programming stuff, this is what we do. So if you want programs based on different intensities and you want to learn some about this, just shoot us an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. We can help write you a program with varying intensities, and you can learn how to use this best for later in life. So overwhelmingly, most of the programs and formats and structures we provide for clients have been used for multiple years. So it's a pretty good investment. So it's a little sales pitch there, I guess, but it's true. So if you are interested, just email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. We'll talk to you about what your goals are, maybe give you an idea of what would be kind of our best way to help you. And if you're interested, we'll work together. Okay? So let us know if you need it or if you'd like it. So if you like the podcast, though, please share that with family and friends. And the more people we help, the happier the world will be. Also, if you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Brutal Iron Gym. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. The podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. You can tell us at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.